Hey, girlfriends, welcome to another episode of Girlfriends and Goals. We're your hosts, Miosha
and Samaria.
This podcast is a space where we'll talk about friendships, life goals, a little bit of pop culture, and all things womanhood.
Our top goal this year is to grow our podcast audience. So if you're new here or you're an avid listener of this podcast, please subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating, write a review, and be sure to share this episode with a girlfriend or two.
All right, we're going to get into our first segment today, which is called Girl, What's Good, where we talk about something we've been loving for the past couple of weeks. It could be a book, a bottle of wine, a store. So Samaria, what's been good with you?
So I just watched this mini series, or I don't know what they call them when it's only a few episodes and they're not limited series, I think is what it's called, on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's called A Perfect Mother. Is the English, or if you like, it's originally in French, but it's called A Perfect Mother, and you can like get the English version on Netflix. But it was really good. Only 4 episodes. I think the episodes are about an hour each. And yeah, that was really good. So I enjoy watching it, and I think you guys should check it out too.
Okay, so I know you're a little bit good with French now. So for us non-French speakers, do they have the English voiceover, or would we have to read it in English?
So I think they do have the English voiceover.
Okay.
Yeah. So you shouldn't have to read it.
I know for me, that can make or break if I watch something, just because I'm like, oh, do I feel like reading for an hour and a half?
Yeah, no, I understand. And even for me, I did play it in French, but I still needed the English subtitles because there were things, you know, like terms that I just wasn't familiar with, and my French ain't that great, you know, but
hey, yeah, you're getting there.
You know, baby steps.
Okay. Well, what's been good with me is a accessories brand that I found at a festival that I went to a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Caged Collection. Mm-hmm. And what I love about this accessories brand is, one, is Black woman owned. Gotta support. Two, there are all of her stuff is handmade. And then 3, the price. And so I don't know about you, but I'm kind of funny when it comes to costume jewelry or accessory pieces, especially earrings, where, you know, if it's not real or handmade, I just don't want to pay too much for it. And I feel like some of these companies are already overpriced on some of their costume jewelry, and it's not anything special or like a statement piece that's maybe worth investing in. But her stuff, like I said, is handmade. Specifically her earrings and her purses are beaded, but they're the very, very small beads. I don't know what you call them, but it's the smallest beads I think you can buy. But yeah, I love that it's handmade by a Black woman, and the price. So I bought a pair of her earrings and they were $18. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to show a visual of
those. The earrings are gorgeous.
Aren't they beautiful? And they're a statement, and they're a good size, but they're lightweight because the back of them are felt, or is felt. So even though they're like a really good size, and I'm sorry for the people who are listening, but the people on YouTube, they can see the earrings next to my face so they can see the size reference. But for the people who are listening, I'll leave her information in the show notes. It's called The Cage Collection, and I'll definitely be buying more of her stuff and supporting her.
Nice. Okay. No, that's absolutely beautiful. I love the little beading. Like when you said beaded, I was like, okay.
No, but I see the...
But yeah, the way that she has them all packed in there, that is amazing. Okay, very nice. Well, we're going to go ahead and talk about the topic for this week, which actually, before we do that, I want to acknowledge that this is our 50th episode. We have done 50 episodes of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. Shout out to us for being consistent.
Okay.
We're not celebrating in any major way, but you know, you guys do get this episode about cutting people off. But yeah, this episode was actually inspired by an Instagram post that someone shared. And the post discussed how some advice online about setting boundaries can be problematic. And so since we did an episode called Set Boundaries, Sis, which was one of our, like, probably our first 10 episodes, we wanted to share what this post said and then just talk about the possible other side of setting boundaries and the advice that we see online. We'll go ahead and link the post in the description just so you guys will have it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to read some of it now. So it says, some boundaries advice, not all, online makes me really uncomfortable. It encourages coldness. There's a massive focus on the self, getting your own needs met, and zero on offering the same to other people. This is narcissistic, which I don't know about the use of the word based on last week's episode on narcissists, but check that out. And she continues to say, most boundaries advice ignore the realities of human relationships and encourage cutting people off. This is anti-relational. Last one, it ignores context. What is an appropriate boundary for an internet stranger is a mind-blowingly cruel boundary for a parent or partner. So I'll stop there, but there is more. Like I said, we'll link it down so you guys can see. But I just want to get Miyosha's initial reaction to this post.
My initial reaction is that I never thought about the other side, I guess, of cutting people off, or thought about that perspective that she bought. But I can see that there is a lot of truth in that. I think the reason why I had never given the other side of cutting people off and being old and distant when taken to an extreme is just because I think in my experiences, I've seen mostly the opposite of that. Not to say that I've never seen, you know, a person cutting people off too much, but I think what I see the majority of the time is people who struggle to set boundaries and stick to them and remove people from their lives. So my initial thought was, I've never thought of that perspective.
Interesting. Okay. So my first reaction was that I love the slide that talked about this is anti-relational, because I do see a lot of these like set boundaries posts and they do seem a little bit cold, but when she says anti-relational, it made me think about the one person who I've encountered in my life who is very, very keen on cutting off relationships. And I'm just like, how is this person surviving? You know, but we can talk about that person in that situation a little bit later. But yeah, that was the one slide that I related to the most, because I do think sometimes this advice is anti-relational and doesn't consider people specific context and the nuances of individual relationships.
Yeah, it's very general. And I think it's also just a reminder that this is the internet. It's not a real place.
Yeah.
So you can take certain nuggets here and there, but it doesn't mean that you're supposed to apply it in its entirety.
Yeah.
And you have to think about your situation.
Yeah. And I think it also depends on where on the internet you're getting this advice. So there are a few people who, you know, we follow our podcast page. And I think those are pretty trusted sources because they consider the nuances. So you have like Nidra Taleb. I think Millennial Therapist is another one. And then Nina B. It's like people like that. But it can't be just a one-off post. Like those are people who are therapists, you know, like they do
professionals.
Exactly. They're professionals. They do this work. They're not just like random people sharing posts online and then their next post has nothing to do with that whatsoever, you know? So I think you have to be mindful of where you get your advice on the internet.
Right. So for you, what would you say is the purpose of setting boundaries? And then how does cutting people off either help with that or hurt that purpose? Because I think that the setting boundaries and then cutting people off is very much connected.
Okay. So I think the purpose of setting boundaries for me, like when I look at it in my life, is I want this relationship to continue, but I realize that for it to continue in a way that's healthy for me, I need to maybe put some distance between me and either this person or the way that this person might react, or I can't go to certain events with this person. Like for me, the purpose of it is to maintain a relationship and figure out how we can do that in a way that works for both parties without like harming them. So yeah, so I think that's for me, the purpose of setting those boundaries. And I think when it comes to like cutting people off, I think it might hurt that purpose if that's your, like, that's the first thing you're reaching for in your toolbox, you know? So I don't think if you're reaching for just cutting people off, I don't know that you've done the work to try to repair the brokenness that was there or to try to continue this relationship in a healthier way for you or for that other person. So I think cutting people off kind of hurts the purpose in that way. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'd agree. For me, it's something similar where I feel like I'm just creating a space where both people can feel comfortable maneuvering through the relationship. And, you know, sometimes those boundaries are spoken, but they're unspoken until certain things come up. So I think where it could hurt is some people just don't know, especially if you haven't vocalized that boundary yet to them and vice versa, you may not know either. But I'd say that cutting people off can also help. I agree with what you said, but I'm just providing, I guess, a different perspective. I think it can help so that neither person is feeling like they're forced to keep a connection that they don't like or isn't working for them. Specifically for an extended period of time, assuming that, you know, you both have had a chance to learn each other, maybe have certain discussions about boundaries, but I do think that it can help to get to a place if you feel like, hey, I do need to cut this relationship off just so that neither person is where they don't want to be. So,
Okay. And I think that's an interesting, interesting perspective. Just to circle back around, we kind of talked about knowing people who are quick to cut others off. So if you think about those people who you've encountered who were really quick to cut people off, how did that impact their relationships?
I actually had a hard time thinking of a specific person or situation where they're like very quick to cut people off. But I will say that I have met a good amount of women who I think either don't have the highest expectations of their relationships with other women, or they talk negative about friendships with women. So they'll say things like, oh, you know, women keep up drama, you know, women are falling out, that's why I don't have girlfriends. Say weird things like, I'd rather be friends with the guys. So I have heard that, and I think that can lead to them avoiding establishing relationships with women and even being overly critical and unrealistic about their expectations of people. So,
Got you. It wasn't hard for me to think about anybody. there's just this one person, and you know, it's not someone who's like close to me, right? They're not super close to me, but I feel like every time I run into somebody who knows this person and knows me, they've cut that person off. Like, and it's, it's insane. And it happened the first time when we were like kind of in the same space, you know? And I did think it was weird. But the thing about this person is the other people seldom know what they did. And so I think when I look back on just that person's relationships, I think maybe communication could have gone a really long way because it seems like you're cutting these people off and they don't even know what they did to you. And it seems like if they would have known what they did to you, they would be willing to apologize. So it impacted that person's relationships in that they didn't have many of those relationships left.
But you know what? I think I've seen this, maybe not with people super close to me, but people who have that mindset, they'll say things like, oh, well, I keep my circle lean anyways, or that's what I keep, you know, I can only count on three fingers, you know, who I have. And they kind of brag about not having a support system.
Right. So they do wear it as a badge of honor. Like, oh yeah, because if you cross me, I'll cut you off. If you're having to cut that many people off, I don't think that many people are doing wrong things to you, you know? And it really sucks because it kind of becomes like the boy who cried wolf a little bit. Like, okay, if someone does do something to you, other people are now looking at it like, you sure it was them, you know? So it's just very interesting. I'm like, you don't have any relationships left. And I think it's just strange for me as someone who keeps my relationships. I really do believe in like conflict resolution. I'm going to come to you and say, hey, you hurt my feelings. And if you're a good person, you'll listen to how you hurt my feelings and try to repair that. You know, if you're not a good person or you're stuck on your high horse, then I guess you won't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it just makes a lot of a difference to me to work out those relationships. So
I wonder if the person you're referring to, if they are on the receiving end of getting cut off as well a lot. Like, is it a reactionary thing of, oh, I'm going to cut these people off before they have a chance to cut me off? I don't know.
The situations that I know of, no. So the situations that I know of, the other person isn't even, not to sound like rude, but the other person isn't even thinking about them, you know, in terms of, we have beef or anything like that. So it's literally, you know, something might happen and we think we're like joking, or something might happen and nobody thinks anything of it, but I'm going to say you're a little bit more sensitive, and there's nothing wrong with being sensitive. Like, I don't think, but you're a little bit more sensitive. And so you maybe take things to heart, but I've seen with some sensitive people where they're like, listen, I'm sensitive. So this one lady was like, I'm sensitive. So everybody in this room has hurt my feelings at some point, but she knew that about herself. And so it wasn't like she was making others pay for her being sensitive, or she would have to have those conversations with people, letting them know.
So you mentioned that you felt like communication would have gone a long way to maybe help salvage some of the relationships of the person you know that likes to cut people off quick. Mm-hmm. For me, if I were to give them advice, I would say to think about intentions first. I try to do that with all of my relationships, where I take a moment to say, okay, do I think that this person intended to hurt me or do whatever? Mm-hmm. And then I would also just tell them to, like, hey, put yourself in the other person's shoes. And I think we all want to be given grace within reason, of course. Like, people just can't run all over you and do whatever. But put yourself in the other person's shoes, especially if they don't know. If you have a friendship that you really value, at least on your end, what do you want them to come to you and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling about it, or these are the parameters that need to be in place for us to have a healthy relationship? Yes. And then I don't know if maybe it's just me, but I like to think of my friends as my family. I know with family, we give a lot more grace and understanding because they're family. You can't pick your family. It just is what it is. You find a way to maneuver through those relationships. And so I somewhat try to take some of that same thought process with my friends, in that my friends aren't going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. And so let me think about, I guess, the benefits versus the cons of whatever the dynamic is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's more, then I will try to find a way to probably communicate it to them, but, you know, keep the relationship going. So that's always helped me to assert, you know, in certain situations where, you know, at least the people that I really consider my close friends, y'all are my family. We have to talk through some things. It may not be all roses all the time, but if you're in my circle, I plan on having you around for a long time, and even close in being around my actual family. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to be so quick to cut people off. And plus, I want grace. So,
yeah, you know, I think it really serves as a con to the person who is cutting people off, because then you're not really working through your conflict resolution skills at all. And so I think that's negative. I think we can all agree that it does get to certain points where you do have to take that. And I think it might be a way of like protecting oneself, like, oh, I see this going south, so let me do this. But at the same time, you could be cutting out people who, like you said, are a community to you. And it could have just been one conversation. Hey, I was hurt. And there are amazing people out there who would be like, oh, I really didn't mean to hurt you. I'm so sorry. But then you also have to be interested in accepting apologies and moving forward. So,
yeah.
All right, so we've talked about one extreme, right? People who cut everybody off, but then there are those people who don't believe in cutting anyone off ever. What do you think are the pros and cons of never cutting people off?
Well, I'm going to start with the cons, and I guess I'll let you handle the pros on this one. Dang. But I think a con is it can change the person that you are going forward. Sometimes just staying connected to people longer than you should can change your perspective on life, friendships, other relationships.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm talking more specifically, like if it's a more toxic situation that you really need to remove yourself from.
Yeah.
And you just being in it too long, because sometimes time is everything. And maybe if you would have removed yourself sooner or earlier, things could look different going forward for you versus you just staying way longer than you need to, then the ramifications increase the longer that you're around this person or in contact with someone that really shouldn't be in your life. Mm-hmm. So I'd see it as is that a con? Yeah, that's a con of people. I had to think about it for a minute. I'm like, did I start off on con? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I'm kind of running low on pros too. So I don't know how much I can like compensate for you not having any. But I think the pro is, did I say I was
pro?
Low on pros or cons?
You said you were low on pros.
You sure? I would say it again because it feel like
all these pros and cons, it's confusing.
Right. So I'm kind of low on pros as well. Okay. But I think I'm going to try to think from the person who doesn't cut anybody off. I think what they're trying to avoid is burning bridges. You never know when you might need this person in the future. And so instead of cutting someone off, they're like, oh, that person could still be a resource in my life, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't personally agree with that. I do think having certain people in your life at a certain point, they might have added value, but if they're bringing a whole bunch of negativity into your world, I do think at a certain point you have to weigh the cost versus the benefits, like the value that they're bringing to you. Is it really worth the cost of, you know, your peace, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what people who don't cut people off are thinking. It's like, I don't want to burn any bridges. So I think a pro of not cutting people off is that you do have maybe a bigger network of resources to tap into if the person is reliable enough to be tapped into as a resource. So that's pro maybe.
Yeah, it's hard for me to reach for pros, but I will say that I understand why people may have a hard time cutting people off, just because, especially if it's romantic relationships, if you cut them off, you're likely not in contact with them going forward. Yeah. And so there may be some fear there around, well, what if, what does the future look like without this person? Or you can't imagine your life without them. So it's hard to find the pros, but I understand.
I've seen it pay off.
Oh, of course.
I've seen right. Like actually just recently. So there was somebody who I felt like a close friend of mine maybe should have cut off in 2018, 2019. And they didn't. And the person ended up coming through as a resource for them on something that they needed. Mm. Now, was that the only person that could have come through as a resource? I do not think so. And therefore, if that person had been cut off, there wouldn't have been like, the need still would have been met. So I don't necessarily think that person was needed, but I understand that the person was convenient.
And so I think that's what it is. Like you said, especially if it's like a romantic situation or something like that, it can be inconvenient to separate from people. You do have that tug of war of, oh, well, if I go back, then maybe, you know, or you never know if this might work out. And so I think that's what people are thinking when they're like, oh, I don't want to cut anything off. They're not ready to cut ties and they possibly want to double back.
Yeah. And I guess aside from like the romantic situation, imagine if it's family. So I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but if this is a person that's within your family that you may need to cut off for whatever reason, that also kind of changes the situation, and there's just a lot that to be dealt with when it is within your family.
I kind of have a question. Do you feel like once somebody is cut off, they're cut off and that's it? Or do you think like if enough time has passed, they can be grafted back into your like circle?
I think it depends on what it is.
Okay.
And I think it also depends on if there's been any progress to address maybe the original reason why they were cut off. But I don't know, some things are just, you can't come back from. So you would just have to evaluate, okay, what was the reason?
What was the reason?
Has it been addressed? Because I don't believe that people will make like major changes about them for other people. You know, you have these rules of engagement for like, oh, this is how you can be in my life or what needs to happen. But I don't believe that people are making major changes about themselves just to fit that, just because you have these rules and guidelines around what they should be, what the relationship should be like.
Yeah.
Not to say it will never happen. I just don't see that very often. So even if you were to try to reintroduce them back into your life, if the original reason wasn't addressed for whatever reason, then I don't know how successful it could be. And for some people, they're like, listen, we don't need to be going back and forth. Just let it be.
Yeah. I think for me, the most that we can get to is cordial. Like, okay, you know, we might have been cut off from each other's lives, but I don't hate you, you know? And so I'm not going to act in a way, especially if they're coming back and trying to repair it. I'm like, oh, we can be cool. But if I have gotten to the point where I need to cut people, this is just speaking from, you know, knowing who I am. But if I have gotten to the place where I'm like, okay, you really have to go, then I don't know that I can see coming back from that, because my knee-jerk reaction would just be to, okay, give it some space, give this relationship some space and see if we can come back to something. But if I go to the extent of saying cut off, the slim.
So I don't know. I was thinking that when people say, oh, I cut this person off, I don't know. I think there's levels to cutting people off.
Oh, do tell.
So I guess at a high level, I'm thinking about removing this person from my life, but there's still some contact there. And maybe your behavior and interactions are still the same with them, but it's already in your mind that you're headed in that direction. It's more of a, maybe when is it going to happen? But you've already established like, hey, I'm not interested in maybe having this person in my life in a certain way, but there's still contact there. And then I think there's like a middle ground where there still may be contact there, maybe because you can't avoid contact, but you've already somewhat mentally and emotionally cut them off. So there may be some interactions of, hey, there's a phone call, or you see them at an event or a family get together, but you've already mentally and emotionally removed yourself, but maybe it's not possible to cut all contact. And then the third is you have no contact with that person at all going forward.
Would you think maybe that the first two options that you described are just setting boundaries and not cutting off? Like, what's the distinction there?
Well, I think the distinction for me is the setting boundaries is just that, hey, we need these parameters, but my mind and heart are of a certain level of interest, I think, in the relationship, in the person or situation, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think if you're at a point where you're cutting someone off, you're not really interested, I guess, in having them in your life in a certain way. And for okay. some situations, you can't remove all contact. There still has to be some interaction there. And then others, you know, if it's, say, a romantic relationship, then you break up, maybe you block their number, and that's that.
Interesting. So I would have thought cutting off is the third option that you gave, which is no communication, fall off the like face of the earth type situation.
So I was thinking that, but then I also thought about situations where people have mutual friend groups, or where people have maybe a situation where they feel like they need to cut off a family member, where it just may not be realistic to where you're cutting all contact.
So, be at the family reunion, and when they come around, your whole energy changes. It's just like you were talking and playing with everybody, they come around straight face.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I've never had that experience, but I did think about like, okay, well, if it's your family or you roll in the same circles or you see people out, I mean, you could just not speak. But for some people that, you know, I'll say, I think there are some people who've been quote unquote cut off and maybe don't even know they've been cut off. Mm. The person is kind of checked out from the situation.
Gotcha. Okay.
But maybe they've told them, maybe they haven't. And they're just having to maybe navigate the situation in a certain way because going no contact isn't an option.
Yeah. And I guess you don't have to communicate cutoffs, I guess. You know, like how I was saying, hey, if you're setting boundaries, you care about the relationship and you communicate those boundaries maybe.
Care is the key word. I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I think about. I think people can be in contact with people, but the level of care and interest may change depending upon if you've checked out of the relationship or not.
Well, all right.
So in your opinion, when do you think you should cut someone off? Like, is there so many chances, a time frame, or is it just whenever you feel like it?
I think whenever you feel like it, just because every situation is so different, right? Like, I don't want to say, oh, try it out for 3 months and see how that goes when someone is like bringing bad vibes into your life. Obviously, if it's like a romantic relationship that is abusive, honestly, any relationship can be abusive. So let me just say that it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship. But if it is an abusive situation, I don't think it's safe to stay. And so for that, definitely no timeline, just, you know, gather your bearings and peace out. If it's a relationship that you care about, I do think making at least one attempt, but I'm guessing more just because we're human and we, like, I know there have been several times where I might be corrected on something and I don't immediately like change it, or I am trying, but I don't quite get it right, you know? So I do think it is worth like setting boundaries and having those conversations with that person so that you can try to repair what is broken, or at least get to some type of like acceptable, you know, space where you both are comfortable, you know? So yeah, I do think if it's a relationship you care about, that's what you should do. I don't know about timing or when though. I definitely think if someone is not showing interest in you, they're not showing interest in repairing what is broken. They're being very like nonchalant about what it is that you have spoken to them, then I would maybe opt for number one or number two of what like you said, Miosha. I'm glad that you said, because I wasn't thinking, oh, there are like different options. To me, those are just boundaries. But you know, I think you just have to decide how much you can handle.
Yeah, I think it just depends on the situation. And this is where I think the advice on boundaries and cutting people off is, you know, when it's so general, I think it can be problematic a bit.
Yeah.
Just because it's not taking into account real life. And even if something is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people that we're connected to, I mean, there's some emotional connection, there are memories. And so there's a grieving process also, especially if it's a situation where it's not like this person did this real crazy thing to me, so I'm cutting them off. Yeah. I think sometimes that might even be, I don't want to say easier, versus if it's just maybe a gradual fade, or
like you're falling apart, not falling apart. What do they say when people are growing apart? Yeah, growing apart. There we go.
So, you know, there's also a grieving process on the other side of that, because I've thought about that, you know, if I'm thinking, okay, do I want this person in my life going forward? My planner head, I'm thinking, okay, well, if this is set in motion, then what's next?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to circle back just a little bit on the family piece, because I think we've talked a lot about romantic relationships and friendships.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about people cutting off family members? And this is specific to immediate family. So your mom, dad, sisters, brothers, not the aunt and cousin that you barely see or talk to.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that it's something that I would do, just because, like, yeah, I don't know if it's something that I would do, but I do see people online who have done that, like people whose you know, parents weren't there for them when they were younger, or even like people whose parents have just, I do not want to use the word toxic, I think it's overused, but an unhealthy relationship with them. And it's like, you know, people are bold enough to do that. And so I think no judgment there. Raven was saying on last week's episode, when she said, oh, your parents can be your first bully. I definitely think that that is true. And so it's like, when maybe you've tried so many times and they're still continuing that bullying, I can understand people saying, this is not what I want for my life, because it really does take away from one's peace, take away from one's progress, because now you're supposed to be doing something productive and this person has hurt you in such a way that you can't even think straight, you know? And nobody wants to not be able to think straight for a number of days, months, years at a time. So I think the most that I would do is just be like, okay, there needs to be some type of distance, just because I think for me, I tend to just be quite like, once I've gotten to a specific point where this person isn't listening to me, I've tried to talk it out with them and they're not receiving it. For me, it's just not worth talking about anymore. And so, like, for me, it's not a complete cutoff, right? Especially if we're talking about like some immediate family, or if you're like me and you're close with your extended family too, I'm just gonna throw them in there. But for me, it's more of, okay, I see that talking isn't resolving anything, so now I have to get to a place in my life, in my mind, where I'm okay with this not being resolved, because I know it takes two people to resolve it and only one of them is trying to, and that one is me. So, you know, you have to just protect your peace, really. How about you? Would you ever consider doing that? Just like cutting off all communication, like not even once a month?
I don't ever see myself being put in that position.
Yeah.
But I do think that some things are so egregious that might be necessary. Yeah. So it wouldn't be my first course of action. I don't think that that's anything anyone wants. You want your family close to you. I have so much empathy for people who have had to cut off family members, especially if it's a parent. I can't imagine the emotional turmoil that kind of comes with that. Because, you know, these are the people, and your siblings, these are the people you kind of came into the world with.
So yeah, you're day ones.
You see yourself being connected with them. However, I will say, in observing other people's situations, that sometimes it is necessary and not everyone will understand it. You know, because then that brings on other elements with other family members that may not be pleasant. So yeah, it's definitely not ideal, not my first choice, but I do understand it. And whenever I see that, I know that it's more from a protection standpoint and not being malicious or bitter or angry. It's literally, I need to protect myself. So I'm going to close myself off. Yeah. And you're right, with family, it is different because you may have to still see them and talk to them or have mutual communication because you're still in the same family. So yeah, I have a lot of empathy for people who've had to kind of establish that level of boundaries.
Yeah, even, and I feel like I referred to this episode quite a bit, but the complicated mother-daughter relationships where Sandra was talking about her story, which if you haven't listened to that, please go. Definitely one of my favorite episodes. But even in that situation, she didn't like cut her mom off. Like, she was like, if her mom like reached out to her, there would be a response. Like, she always has that place in her heart, in her life for her mom. But it was just that it got to a point where, okay, I am trying to bring a new life into this world. I've seen the errors that you've made with me. And even though you don't want to see them, like, I've seen them, and I'm trying to do different for my child. And so I really have to make sure I'm in the mental space, you know, and 100% healthy to bring this child into the world safely, first of all, and then to start putting forth practices where I can raise her to not have a mom who made the mistakes that you made. But yeah, so even in that situation, it wasn't a, oh, I'm cutting my mom off. And she didn't do it with like a pride or like, oh, I'm happy to be doing this. It was more of a, I'm willing at any time to work through this. And I've reached out and tried to work through this several times and just realizing, hey, maybe I'm not the problem, you know? So yeah, I do definitely have a lot of empathy for those situations as well. Yeah. What do you feel like are some alternatives to cutting people off? So like, if someone's listening to this and they realize, oh, I'm that person who's so quick to cut people off, like, what are some alternatives that, you know, we can maybe suggest for them?
I can give an alternative from my perspective and I guess how I handle establishing boundaries on who's going to be close to me or not. I think just sometimes accepting people for who they are and what they are, and moving on.
Okay.
And keeping them in my life. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're not perfect. And I know for me, it's not just, oh, you're doing this wrong thing, or kind of, I look at like the totality of the situation and the value that this person brings to my life.
Yeah.
And even if you cut that person off and you move on to the next friend, they will have flaws as well. And it will take work and energy and effort for you to learn that person, come to some type of understanding, establish those boundaries that they may or may not understand either. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that this is a reason to keep everyone around.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if at all you see that those benefits outweigh maybe the areas of the person or situation that isn't as pleasant, but just like getting to a place where you accept that person for who they are and then make adjustments so that you can continue to have that person in your life. I know we all do this with family. So this is no different than maybe what we're used to. I just think with family, you just understand that, hey, this is who they are. They're probably not going to change. How do I at least have a pleasant relationship with them going forward, healthy, hopefully. So I guess somewhat applying that same mindset and just accepting people, especially if it's not on something that's a hard no.
So you talked about family. I'm going to talk about like friendships. And this could also apply to family as well. But I think one of the things that's very helpful is getting a second opinion. If you have another friend, just run things by them and say, hey, okay, so this happened and I feel like I need to cut this person off, because the other person who's a disinterested party could come in and say, okay, girl, yeah, they weren't right about that, but I think this could be resolved with a conversation and see how they take it, see what their response is to you telling them that they hurt you. Or, I think if this is a pattern that they have shown, it might be the time to just take several steps back from this person. And so I think being humble enough to ask for someone else's opinion and realizing that at the end of that conversation, you could be the one who needs to change something. You could be the one who needs to maybe rethink how you approach the situation, or you could be the one who needs to have a conversation that could make things go much better than worse. So yeah, I think that is. And then of course, tried and true is just having a conversation. Like, please, yeah. Just, you know, have a conversation. Most of the time people don't even know that they've done you wrong. And so I think it's worthwhile to just say, hey, you did me wrong, or I felt hurt when you did this. And again, if they're a good person and if they like actually genuinely care for you, their reaction will be, oh, my bad. There's this apology assessment, like, you know, they have the 5 love languages. So I recently found out that there's this apology assessment, and I think everybody should take it, because for me, the results came back that I appreciate when someone expresses their regret for what they've done for me. Like, I am so sorry that I hurt your feelings. Like, honestly, if you just say that to me, I will probably be good. If it's a bigger issue, then there might be another thing that needs to be added to that. But I just want to know that you care that you hurt me, and mm-hmm. that you don't want to be hurting me. So, yeah.
And I just thought of this other thing too, just taking a moment to check in with yourself mm-hmm. on like kind of what you have going on
yeah.
in your life that, and not, that's not to be dismissive of your feelings, but yeah. I do know at different points in times that we all can maybe be more sensitive or have other yeah. things going on that make you, I guess, more susceptible to like taking things out of context or order. So I think it could be worth it just to take a moment along with consulting a friend
yeah.
to say, okay, is it me? Am I tripping?
I literally had a moment like this 5 minutes before starting. And this is, I appreciate my self-awareness. I'm not saying I'm self-aware 100% of the time, but I have noticed that I can be self-aware. And like 5 minutes before we recorded, I was upset at someone for something. And then like, as soon as I was like, oh, I'm mad that this person didn't do that, I'm like, girl, are you mad that they didn't do that? Or was this thing that just happened 10 minutes ago affecting your mood, and now you're just looking for somebody to lash out on? And that's exactly what it was. So I was just like,
you
need to come up off that. Like, that's not cool. And so it changed my entire like mood going into my conversation with that person, because it's like, oh, you're not the problem. It's me. I'm the problem. And you have to be self-aware, which, unfortunately, like Raven was saying last week, if the person's a narcissist, they're not going to be. But that's that episode. But thank you guys so, so much for listening to this episode of the Girlfriends and Goals podcast. You've heard our thoughts on this topic, but we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Girlfriends and Goals podcast, where we'll continue this conversation over the next week. If you haven't subscribed already, please go ahead and do that now. Don't forget to rate, review, and share. Until next time, bye.
Bye.